Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart. And I got Brian Myers, who's not awake, I don't think.
Well,
you had an early morning.
I did. But I've had enough coffee this morning that I'm both tired and wired.
Which is always a fun feeling.
No. It's actually not, but... Oh, man, I've been in South Dakota all week. I got back yesterday, and I'm here so that we can do the show, and then I'm going back there again tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, this is... And for some reason, I woke up a little after 3 this morning and wasn't able to go back to sleep.
So where are you going in South Dakota? What town?
Well, this particular trip is to Pierre, is what they...
Pierre?
That's how they say
that's
it.
That's kind of a pretty area.
It's okay. It's in the central part of the state.
Compared to eastern South Dakota.
It's grassland and so on and so forth. It's not like it is, you know, out by the Black Hills, but
right.
It's not a terrible place to go. It's just a long ways away to keep having to go back out there.
Yeah. Yeah. How long of a drive is that from Des Moines?
7 hours maybe.
Okay.
It's something like that.
A little bit better actually than I thought it was. So.
Yeah, I was actually up in Jamestown, North Dakota earlier in the week.
North Dakota. That's a fun place to go.
Long ways from anywhere.
I told some when we went on vacation this summer, told somebody, you know, where are you going? Fargo. It's for a wedding. We're not going there for vacation. But, yeah, not a fun place to...
No, some of the places up there, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it
from there. Yeah.
So I understand that there's a bit of an athletic contest
going
on
tomorrow.
Well,
yeah, and you're going to miss it. Hopefully you get it on the radio anyway when you're driving.
So
yeah, Iowa State. I have no idea. I haven't really honestly been paying that much attention to Iowa, even though they got a new quarterback. I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
Right.
They had a pretty impressive game last week.
They did.
So,
and I tell you what, the Clones are much improved.
Okay.
Now, whether or not they've got the chutzpah to knock off Iowa, I don't know.
Well,
but
if things usually go as planned, typically if they lose the Hawkeyes, they have a good year. If they beat Iowa, it's usually downhill from there.
Okay. All right.
Historically speaking. So maybe it's better for them to just lose.
You're finding a way to have it both ways here, buddy. You're trying to have that cup half full,
right?
No matter what,
right? Well, you know,
good luck with that.
I like Iowa State until they play Iowa. Yeah. Maybe so. Anyway, I think a team from Iowa win. I had a chance to ask.
You think a team from Iowa win? Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Keen insight,
well,
there, Shane.
I was on a press call yesterday with Senator Joni Ernst and. And I was the second to last person to get to ask a question. And all of my questions I had prepared had already been burned through. You know, they stole my thunder. So I thought, I'll ask something a little, you know, not serious. So, Senator Ernst, Iowa or Iowa State? You know what she told me?
What'd she say?
You and I. Said, well played, Senator. Well played.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this morning we are privileged to have with us by telephone... A special guest, Dr. James Wunless, who's been on the show before, also spoke last year as part of the panel discussion at the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing. He's the Associate Professor of Physics at Presbyterian College in Clinton, South Carolina. Dr. Wunless has published over 60 peer-reviewed scientific articles, mainly in the Journal of Geophysical Research and Geophysical Research Letters. He's also published in psychology and medical areas, and popular Christian journals, and is the author of Resisting the Green Dragon. Well, good morning, Dr. Wunless, and welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Good morning, gentlemen. Very good to hear your voices.
Did you hear that? He called us gentlemen.
I know.
Go figure.
So now there's a standard that's suddenly been applied. Yeah. I'm not sure I can live up to it.
I haven't had any coffee. today, so that could be, you know, maybe my brain's not functioning properly, so you need to take
that must be it. That must be it. If he'd had his coffee, he'd have never said that. Well, Dr. Wunlass, our beloved president here a couple of weeks ago was up in Alaska and looking around at all of the alleged dreadful effects of climate change that was going on up there. And he made an urgent appeal for climate change action. And I thought this was interesting because, well, there's a number of things that he said that were interesting. But this one I really thought was interesting. He said he gave an urgent call to address climate change and declared that the United States was partly to blame for what he called the, quote, defining challenge of the century, and would rally the world to counter it. Now, of course, every time I hear him say something like this, I wonder if the guy just hasn't been, you know, reading the newspaper and seeing that there's this organization called ISIS over in the Middle East that's, you know, beheading people and causing mayhem and making the entire Middle East, you know, go up in flames. But yet, he believes that the defining challenge of the century is climate change. What do you think about that, Dr. Wunlass?
Well, I think that the administration's shown itself incredibly prone to following the talking points of all kinds of green organizations. You mentioned my book, Resisting the Green Dragon. I wrote that to try to, you know, help people understand why it is that we have politicians like the president so eager to push these green ideas which end up crushing people and ignore genuine problems where people are dying right here and now, and talk about hypothetical problems in hundreds of years' time, perhaps. I think it's actually a profoundly religious reason that drives some of this, and you can see some of that. I think the evidence is in the people that the president surrounds himself with. When he was in Alaska last week, he had John Holdren with him and a number of other people with him who, you know, have said a number of very revealing things about their ideas about the way the world should be. And a strong United States is not one of the things that they perceive would be good for the world. And a number of other things, which I'll share with you if you care to talk about.
Sure. Absolutely. One of the things that strikes me as hard to understand is after all these years we've been talking about the catastrophic effect that is supposed to happen as a result of what they now refer to as climate change, but is actually just global warming under a different term. But anyway, apparently he mentioned this up in Alaska, that we would see entire countries submerged, cities would be annihilated, and fields would be left barren unless more was done to reduce emissions. And yet, if I understand this correctly, and perhaps you can shed some light on this, Dr. Wunlass, if I understand this correctly, the administration's plan with respect to emission reduction would only reduce global temperatures by 0.01 Celsius. So I'm at a loss to understand how it is that we can think that this is, let's just give them, for the sake of argument, let's just say that they're correct, that some really bad things are going to happen. If the plan will only make this minuscule reduction, why are we bothering?
Right. Well, I hate to say this. I hate to be kind of negative about politicians, but sometimes I've heard people say, you know when they're lying, when they move their lips, and I think
you cynic.
The problem that you're laboring under is that you're actually trying to understand what's going on, and you believe in truth, and so when you see some of the facts and some of the predictions that people make, and you hear some of these statements, one which Al Gore made was, you know, 2015, that's the end of the world, and so on. You see things not coming to fruition. We've got supposed to have increased hurricanes, and things are supposed to be getting worse and worse and worse, and yet we don't see this coming to fruition. You're laboring under this assumption that, you know, when they say it's all about that, that it really is all about that. Excuse me, that's a phone that's just gone off. Hold on a second.
Guess Dr.
It's always fun when that happens when you're speaking. I've had that happen before.
Excuse me, guys.
No, that's all right.
I think the issue isn't so much about saving the planet, and that's the problem. It's carbon dioxide just happens to be a very, very useful tool. It's a fulcrum which will basically crush the United States into the ground. You know, President Obama took John Kerry up there. John Kerry led the conference, and John Holdren was there as well. John Holdren is essentially the science czar, and he wrote a book. He wrote a number of books about these issues. A few decades ago, he wrote one, and I quote him. He said, "You know, our goal should be population limitation and redistribution of wealth."
Right.
He also said, this is quoting from him a little bit later, he said, a massive campaign must be launched to de-develop the United States, bringing our economic system, especially patterns of consumption, into line with realities of ecology and the global resource situation. So, you know, when people are looking at it and say, oh, we've got to save the planet, but wait a second, it's really not all that bad, and we're supposed to have this catastrophic global warming, but there actually hasn't been any global warming in 20 years. It's just not making sense. Mm. Why are we still going on about carbon dioxide? Well, it's because carbon dioxide is a product of life and just of civilization. So if you can get a chokehold on carbon dioxide, you can shut down the United States. I mean, you can turn it into a nature reserve, no human beings. But, you know, the reality is it'll be really ugly. They want their cake and they want to eat it.
You mentioned You mentioned John Kerry. He had apparently also spoke earlier that week, and he said he referred to, quote, seismic changes, unquote, in temperatures and sea levels. Now, if I understood this correctly, he's talking about something that's already happened. And I'm at a loss to see this evidence of seismic changes in temperatures and sea levels.
Yes. Well, the choice of location is carefully made. They went to Alaska, of course, because Alaska does have the greatest swings in temperature. Alaskans are people who know how to live with extremes. You know, they've got record highs in the hundreds and record lows in the close to the minus that. So they know what extreme temperatures and extreme weather is like. And so he went there at the height of summer to talk about glaciers and so on. President Obama's walking alongside glaciers and talking about how, you know, the end of the world is coming because glaciers are receding. But they, you know, the thing he fails to tell us, tell the media, or maybe the media fails to investigate properly, is that, you know, glaciers in Alaska, some of them have been receding for hundreds of years already.
That's just
minor detail.
Minor detail. you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Dr. James Wanless. Dr. Wanless, I'm looking at an article in MSNBC. It says California folds on climate change, which I find interesting. Basically, they were on the verge of passing a bill that would have required a provision that required a 50% cut in petroleum use in cars and trucks by 2030. Is that even? They eventually gutted that because of pressure. Of course, they're blaming the fuel industry, even though you got Democrats leading both chambers and you have a Democratic governor that supports it. Anyway, is a 50% cut in petroleum in cars and trucks, is that even tenable? Is that realistic? I mean, would that even help?
Well, it wouldn't help the climate. As the models have been shown wrong, because we've got massive increases of CO2 primarily due to China and India, yet we've had no global warming for almost 20 years. And the models say that, you know, if the United States were to blink out of existence in a moment, it would make less than an instrumental measurement in change in the global temperature. So no, that wouldn't make any difference. But it would make a difference to the United States. I mean, if they were to enforce as California goes, so goes the country. If they would try to enforce that sort of thing, you know, I can't even imagine what life would look like in the United States, except it would be rather poor, short, and nasty.
The administration is slated to tighten the restrictions for ozone, I understand. And that is supposed to hit by October 1st. But apparently, some African-American state and local politicians are actually lining up with business groups to warn that this could hurt poor communities and manufacturing centers like we have in Gary, Indiana, and St. Louis. And so I think this was kind of a surprise for the Obama administration to see this particular coalition of people step up and say, wait just a moment. But this goes to just what you were referring to, is that there are consequences to these regulations that are going to hurt real people, and in this case, a constituency of the president's.
Yeah, the president's had
got a minute left, Dr. Wendler. Sorry,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the president's had a convergence of factors that have stymied some of his plans. You know, prior to him becoming president, he was in San Francisco giving what he thought was a private lecture, and you know, some of his comments were brought out there. He said that if he becomes president, his goal is to cause electricity prices and energy prices to skyrocket, and they would necessarily skyrocket, is what he was quoted as saying. And the Balfour Center at Harvard University had predicted, you know, this is what is needed in order to have behavior modification of Americans. No more driving, just do what the Greens say. We need $7 a gallon gasoline. So we've had the shale revolution on private lands and somewhat of a recession which stymied this. But the president's got other ways, and the EPA is one of the things that he's using, the big hammer.
Dr. Wendler, we got to go.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help find the life insurance
you need.
So, yeah, I was about ready to stop in the middle of that. It's like that didn't flow like it normally does.
Anyway, We got there.
We got it.
Travis, we took care of Travis.
We love Travis.
He'll probably call in and say, what are you doing messing up my reading?
No doubt.
Live reading.
We wanted to talk about one of our favorite subjects, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, look, everybody's talking about the Donald.
Right.
He doesn't seem to be going away.
Right. And it's like, will anything derail what seems to be a runaway freight train when it comes to the GOP nomination? CNN just released a poll. We'll get a little bit into it the next segment, but just his numbers, he's above 30% now. So it just seems like nothing is stopping or nothing is hurting this man as far as his campaign goes.
No, we were talking, we've said this more than once. He'll say something completely outrageous and we'll say, that's it, he's toast.
Right.
And then he'll go up, you know, maybe 3 points in the polls. If he says two stupid, crazy, outrageous things, then he'll jump up 10.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is wrong with this picture?
Right. Well, Bobby Jindal decided to become the next person to take. Well, let's just say Jindal went. He's gone nuclear. on this is beyond just
ballistic
just,
at the very least.
Yeah, just this goes beyond just a criticism of Trump over a comment. I mean, he devoted his National Press Club comments to really trying to knock on. That was harsh. I mean, he said he said some things that Brian and I said so and have said before. He must be listening. Anyway, this is a lengthy clip, and I wanted you to hear at least part of what he had to say about Donald Trump. It's going to last about 3.5 minutes or so. So, Ron, go ahead and play clip one.
Donald Trump is not a serious candidate. He's a narcissist. He's an egomaniac. The only thing he believes in is himself. The reality is that I want to say what everybody is thinking about Donald Trump but afraid to say. Everybody knows this is true. This shouldn't be new. The idea of the Donald Trump Act is great. The reality of Donald Trump, however, is absurd. He's non-serious. He's a carnival act. Here's the truth about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is shallow. He has no understanding of policy. He is full of bluster. He has no substance. He lacks the intellectual curiosity to even learn. You can't argue policy with this guy. The only thing that Donald Trump believes in is himself. Look, he tells us that his health care plan is going to be fabulous. He tells us his tax plan will be really, really terrific. He is shallow. There is no substance. He doesn't know anything about policy. He has no idea what he's talking about. He makes it up on the fly. He doesn't believe in limited government. He has told us that. He, over and over, from his belief in socialized medicine to his desire for tax increases, he has told us over and over that he's got no problem with big, top-down style government. The only problem he's got with D.C. today, he has no problem with big, top-down style government. His only problem is he's not the one running it today. Donald Trump's not against big government. He's just against the folks that happen to be running it. Donald Trump is for Donald Trump. He believes in nothing other than himself. Look, he's not a liberal. He's not a moderate. He's not a conservative. He's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's not an independent. Donald Trump is for Donald Trump. He's not for anything. He's not against anything. Issues don't mean anything to him. Policies, ideals are not important to him. He is for Donald. Donald Trump is a narcissist, and he's an egomaniac. Now, that may sound like a serious charge to make, but it is something that everybody knows to be true. He knows it, too. He celebrates it. He says, Kanye West is great. Why is Kanye West great? Well, because Kanye West likes Trump. So therefore, Kanye West is great. He's an entertaining narcissist, but he's still a narcissist. Like all narcissists, Donald Trump is insecure and weak. He's afraid of being exposed. That's why he tells us always and constantly how big and strong and wealthy he is. Look, we all know that we've all met people like Donald Trump who continue to tell us how insignificant everybody else is. We know that only a very weak and small person needs to constantly tell us how strong and powerful they are. Donald Trump believes he is the answer to every question. Donald Trump is dangerous, but not in the way you think. The reality is we have an incredible opportunity to turn our country around. And the question for conservatives is this. Are we going to rely and trust proven conservative principles? Or are we going to turn to a man who believes in nothing but himself? And that is the most essential question we've got to answer right now. Are we going to miss this great opportunity? Are we going to apply conservative principles? Or do we trust a man who believes in nothing but himself? That's what makes Donald Trump so dangerous. Many people think he's dangerous. They say, well, you wouldn't want somebody like that with such a hothead with his fingers on the nuclear codes. And yeah, that's certainly true. That's not the real danger. The real danger is that, ironically, Donald Trump could destroy America's chance to be great again.
Drop the mic. Wow. This was Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and you just listened to Bobby Jindal tear into Mr. Trump. And, we were talking before the show that, will this hurt Trump? Who knows? Will it hurt Jindal? Well, frankly, Jindal doesn't have any. He doesn't have anything to lose.
Nothing to lose.
And somebody needs to start telling the truth about Donald Trump.
Well, and here's the thing: like we were talking about, with this kind of criticism, the Donald's MO. He is going to go after Jindal with ferocity.
Right.
And Jindal's all of a sudden going to be headline news.
Right. Right.
Frankly, it's good politics, it seems to me.
Right. But it also needs, we need somebody to tell the truth. And I wish all the candidates would really kind of pile on him, because this man is a train wreck. And I just,
anyway, but he's an entertaining train wreck.
Another day in the news. Trump said something stupid. Okay. Moving on. Trump is getting blowback over comments about Carly Fiorina. Trump and Rolling Stone said he was watching Fox News and they were talking about this. This is an interviewer, the writer's observation. He was watching Fox News and Carly Fiorina came on. And he said, "Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that? Can you imagine that? The face of our next president? I mean, she's a woman. I know I'm not supposed to say bad things, but really, folks, come on. Are we serious?"
Since then, he's come out and said, "Well, I wasn't really talking about her appearance. I was talking about
our persona." Whatever. No, when you specifically said that too. I'm sure the people who've turned their brains off. It's like, wake up. This man is a colossal disaster. And let's play clip two. Britt Hume had some good things to say.
Is this the behavior of a strong and confident man, a man prepared to be the leader of the free world? Or is this schoolboy stuff? Is this the kind of boorish, sexist taunt that you would expect from somebody who's just simply not grown up? I think a lot of people will ask themselves that question as that quote becomes as widely circulated as it inevitably will be.
This man is not deserving to be president of the United States. He doesn't have the temperament to be president of the United States.
But here's the thing. Britt Hume is exactly right, except where he starts speculating about people asking the question. People aren't asking the question.
Oh, it's frustrating.
It's obvious that they should be.
Right.
But basically, he gets a pass when he says this outrageous stuff because they're mad at politicians.
Right.
And they like this guy when he throws a bomb that they agree with.
And the thing is, nobody else would get that kind of pass.
No way.
And conservatives should not exercise a double standard.
No, nobody gets a pass like this.
No, gosh.
I mean, this is indescribable.
Yeah, Fiorina.
Here we go.
Yeah, Fiorina responded in an interview with Megyn Kelly,
Trump's. Another one of Donald's lovely ladies.
Yes.
Fiorina responded.
Well, I think those comments speak for themselves, and all the many, many, many thousands of voters out there that are helping me climb in the polls, yes, they're very serious. But maybe, just maybe, I'm getting under his skin a little bit because I am.
I think she probably is a little bit, but until we see his poll numbers tank, it's going to be kind of hard to quantify really. How much progress she's making. Another thing, Trump on Twitter the other day I saw, he says, wow, basically Ben Carson was asked to compare himself with Donald Trump, and Ben Carson brought up, well, faith. He alluded to, and I thought he tactfully said this, but, it appears that Donald and I have some differences when it comes to faith. Trump responds, wow.
Trump the theologian.
Yes. This is on Twitter. Wow, I'm ahead of the field with evangelicals, and in parentheses. I'm so proud of this.
First it was Rosie, then it was Matt.
Yep, sorry.
Now you got Carly Fiorina.
We just keep on wanting this. This clip just must play, apparently. That was you were listening to a bit of Chris Cuomo talking to Donald Trump.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Anyway, you have... he says, he virtually every other group, so he's ahead of every, first of all, Donald Trump is not leading evangelicals. Now he's up there. He's like in second place, but I've not seen him lead evangelicals. Anyway, he said,
that doesn't make me feel any better.
No,
he said,
Ben Carson just took a swipe at me. Well, just because you're leading in the polls, you're apparently untouchable,
and I listened to the quote you know, when Carson was asked that question, and I think you're right. I thought it was fairly tactfully done.
Right. He was asked a direct question. And he gave a direct answer. It's like, this is probably one of the primary differences between he and I. Trump doesn't have any. Okay, Trump is not a believer. If you cannot point to time right. where you have repented of your sin and asked for God for forgiveness, I'm sorry. That's kind of the first step towards entering into a relationship with Christ. Getting, you know, taking communion is not the same as asking right. forgiveness. Being baptized as an infant is not the same as, and I don't want to get into a huge theological discussion, but there's no relationship there. The fact is the church that he cites as his church says he's not an active member either. So,
and I've never held it against Trump,
right.
that he was not an evangelical believer. I never had expectations of that when we saw him speak in Ames a while back. I thought that was kind of over the top that people would actually expect him to give an evangelical profession of faith.
Right.
But by the same token, I also would expect him to be sensible enough to understand that there is going to be a difference between Mr. Carson and himself with respect to matters of faith.
And the fact you may be leading some polls, you know, among evangelicals does not mean
that doesn't yeah.
that your faith is that you're okay spiritually. No, not at all. And frankly, if you're an evangelical and you are supporting Donald Trump, I have to ask you this. How is your biblical worldview factoring into your decision to support Trump? I'm just kind of curious. I have not heard a satisfactory answer yet. I mean, actually, I've asked that question and I've heard crickets. nobody's getting into it.
Chirp.
Right. It's like, because here's the fact, folks. You can't.
Well, we were talking about this a little while ago off the air. What do we really know about Donald Trump? I mean, I could forgive the guy if he said that, you know, in the past 10 or 20 years, he's had some change of heart with respect to some
right.
positions or policy. That's not what's going on here. I think the guy is all over the place. And the only thing we really know is that he doesn't like Mexico. He doesn't like China and he doesn't like Megyn Kelly.
Right.
Beyond that, we really don't know much of anything about him.
We don't. And this is Caffeinated Thoughts. We'll be back. Talk a little bit more about Trump. I know you're excited. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141. Again, that's 515-292-7141. Or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. So, wanted to bring up Trump again.
We just haven't had enough.
I know. You'll get your fill of Trump today. We mentioned the poll that he that just came out last segment, so I wanted to give a few more details about that. He surges to 32% support in a new CNN ORC poll, and basically he gained 8 points since August to land at 32% support. He's the first GOP candidate to top 30% support. He's nearly tripled his support since he launched his campaign in June. The new poll finds former neurosurgeon Ben Carson rising 10 points to land in second place with 19%. Again, this coincides with other polls that we've seen. So together, these two non-politicians now hold the support of a majority of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents. And separately, both are significantly ahead of all the other competitors. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush stands in third place with 9%, down 4 points since August. Texas Senator Ted Cruz holds fourth place with 7%. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker follow at 5%, with all other candidates at 3% or less, including Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who notched the only other statistically significant shift in the poll by falling 5 points since August. So,
you know, the Walker campaign has got to just absolutely be apoplectic.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, not that they're the only ones. I mean, there's a lot of guys here that are in trouble.
Absolutely.
But given the strength of Walker earlier, and Bush is the same way, but Walker in particular has just practically been in free fall.
Yeah, I'm surprised Fiorina actually is not in the top, you know, because the other poll she's actually looks
right.
like she's
made number
some gains.
Three, isn't she?
So
in,
this
in
might,
some polls?
Yeah, the CNN poll might be kind of an outlier. It's a little bit different than others, but at least the top one and two, that's been pretty consistent, Donald Trump and Ben Carson. 14 years after 9/11, a museum and visitor center has been opened at Shanksville, Pennsylvania, to memorialize Flight 93. The visitor center is at the Flight 93 National Memorial near Shanksville. It uses photos, videos, artifacts, and interactive displays to tell the story of how passengers and crew fought to regain control of the plane. The hijackers are believed to have wanted to crash it into the U.S. Capitol, and the heroic actions that people on that flight took made that 9/11 a little less dark. It could have been a lot worse. So we're ever thankful for their courage it's just important. It seems like, you know, we say every year on 9/11, never forget, never forget, never forget. But it seems like, at least with our foreign policy, we have forgotten.
Well, yes, and I saw something on television just this morning in which a lot of these college students are completely unaware about, you know, the details, you know, the whys and the whos relative to 9/11. It's kind of spooky.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that long ago. These kids ought to know.
Right.
Mom and Dad
right.
need they to were... be telling them that, the you know, the people in their academic institutions need to be telling them. On the upside, I saw a clip of some of the things that they've done at this museum and visitor center. It must be a pretty cool exhibit.
Yeah. So, never forget. And, you know, I'll never forget where I was. I was teaching at a Christian school in Indiana. And in between classes, we heard about the first flight and then the second flight plane running into the World Trade Center. So it was...
I was on my way to work, and my wife called me and told me about the first crash, and it was tragic, but I didn't really give it
until
a lot of thought.
The second plane hits,
and I got, into, it was got into work, and then,
yeah,
a lot of bad things happened after that.
Cruz huckablocked at the free
huckablocked.
That's at the free Kim Davis rally, and there's no, you know. This sparked kind of a social media debate. I don't know if anybody else was really debating this or not. Here's the thing. Okay, Ted Cruz came to this Free Kim Davis rally in Kentucky that Mike Huckabee put together. Huckabee got him into the jail so he can meet with Kim Davis. Unexpectedly, Kim Davis was released during the rally. That certainly wasn't planned. Because the last I heard, they were looking at it was going to be probably at least a week. So she came out anyway. Cruz, he tried to go up on stage, it sounds like, or to talk to the media. The media wanted to talk with him, and a Huckabee staffer literally kind of physically blocked him from doing that.
He set a pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Screened him out.
Right, right. So if you're a basketball, obviously you have to know basketball to understand that reference. But, Huckabee said on Newsmax TV, well, this is our event. My team put it together. We're the ones who recruited the people, not only to be on the program, but we're the ones who coordinated the effort. We're the ones who secured the permits, the staging. We had no idea Ted Cruz was going to show up until the day before, and he didn't call us. He called several other people on the program and asked about it. He said he was welcome to come but not participate on stage at the event he set up because he can come, but he's not free to come to an event we're putting together and invite himself on the program any more than I could go a few weeks ago to his event in Des Moines and just show up and expect to be a speaker. It's real simple. It should be real simple.
It should be, but look, at the end of the day, I really wish neither one of them would have been there. I would have preferred to have seen
this a rally that was not, or all of them, all the candidates doing
right.
A multi, you know.
Well, my thinking is it would have been really good to just have this event in which she's released, and I realized that he had planned the event prior to knowing that was going to happen. But it just looks like, you know, a shameless political event.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, a happy event in which this woman,
right,
you know, was released from jail. I would have preferred to see no politicians involved in it.
Right, right. And, well, again, they didn't know that she was going to be released. And
I understand.
What I would have liked seeing is, I think it's good to see candidates take a stand on this. I wish they planned an event together. I mean, wouldn't that have been cool?
That would have worked better.
Yeah, I would have rather seen that.
I mean, as it is, this all looked really petty.
Right.
And here's the other thing, is it feeds into the narrative, which has dogged Cruz, that it's all about him.
Right.
We've heard that criticism about him for a long time, and this will do nothing, you know, to keep that particular criticism at bay.
Right. And, you know, the only people I've really seen criticize Huckabee are Cruz supporters. Everybody else understands you can't just go invite yourself to another candidate's event and expect to speak. That's common sense.
But I agree with you. If we were going to have, I say we, you know, if conservatives were going to have a rally, it would have been really good to have all of the candidates in lockstep there at the event.
Right.
That either that or let's not have one, period. That would have been my preference.
And just one piece of news before our segment runs out. We just have a little bit of time, right, Ron? Yeah. Bernie Sanders tops Hillary Clinton in Iowa. Let that sink in. He's leading her in New Hampshire, now leads her in Iowa. Not by much, but within the margin of error. But he took 41% compared with Clinton's 40%.
Speaking of free fall, Mrs. Clinton is in free fall.
Yeah, and this is a Quinnipiac poll, or Quinnipiac, or whatever.
This is the Q poll.
The Q poll, yes, the Q poll. So, anyway, that's just wow, wow, wow.
Well, this is huge.
They've got to be nervous around Clinton Central, I would imagine.
And this is going to do nothing more than increase the pressure on Uncle Joe to run.
But let this sink in, too. A declared socialist is now the front runner among Democrats in Iowa and New Hampshire.
That say something about the party, maybe?
I think so. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Trying to fix your problems with the same failed solutions over and again, expecting different results? You know that you need help, but it seems people keep being part of the problem. Where do you turn? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. The reality is that we do live in a broken world with people that stumble and sin in many ways. To whom can we trust the intricacies of our broken lives? Can other broken people be trusted to fix us? Or are we simply asking the blind to lead the blind? Counseling based upon the authoritative Word of God sets the source of recovery outside of this broken cycle. Yes, broken, fallible, and unfaithful people can actually help others if they are tethered to the solid, unmovable standard of God's Word. for compassionate help based on the scriptures, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range, Crossroads Shooting Sports. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. For self-defense and personal protection for your home and family, go to crossroadsshooting.com. That's crossroadsshooting.com, crossroadsshooting.com.
And now, we've come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true, because...
You can't make this stuff up!
Okay, this is from the Huffington Post.
Oh, well, where all weird stuff comes from. It's chock full of weird news.
We could just give up now. That's the punchline.
Huffington Post, yeah.
Okay.
All right. When Nicola Austin's daughter turned 18 in February, the 37-year-old decided that they should celebrate in high style. Emphasize the word high. So, Austin purchased 12 bags of cocaine, weighing a total of 8.65 grams, according to prosecutors at Maidstone Crown Court in England. Austin was sentenced earlier this week to a 9-month suspended sentence and 250 hours of community service, Southwest News Service reports. Prosecutor Craig Evans said Austin and her daughter planned to celebrate the girl's 18th birthday in London. They were going to London in a limousine, and she wanted to make sure they had a good time. So, Evans told the court.
Have a Coke and smile. Oh, wait a minute. That kind of Coke. Okay.
But mother and daughter missed out on the London high life. On January 31st, police stopped by to talk with Austin, who had 6 previous convictions, one for possessing amphetamine in 2010. After a police dog at the house sniffed out the cocaine, Austin admitted to officers that she got it for her daughter's birthday celebration, according to the Telegraph. Despite the previous convictions, the judge decided not to send Austin to jail because, wait for it, folks, she has a young son who would suffer if she were incarcerated. Suspended sentence, 250 hours community service for buying a bunch of coke.
Well, yeah.
For her daughter and her pals.
I mean, when they say 12 bags are like little baggies, what they're talking about still. That's still a lot of cocaine.
I would imagine 8.65 grams of cocaine is enough to get you in a lot of hot water normally.
Yeah. Normally, yeah. You know, we could talk about, yeah, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, the fact that, what? Hey, we're going to celebrate your birthday. Let's
party, party. Or maybe it would be party, party.
Party, yeah. And we're going to, have some blow. We're on the high life. Going around London in a limousine.
Blimey, Mum, here comes the cops.
Oh, gosh.
The coppers.
The coppers. Okay, the moral of the story is, what is a good moral for the story? Don't buy cocaine.
The faintest idea what the moral of this story is.
Don't buy cocaine for your kid's 18th birthday. There you go. That's the moral of the story.
Okay. All right. But apparently, if you've got a son,
young son,
you can go ahead and do it anyway because you're not going to go to jail.
Wow. On one hand, having worked in with that's a whole different discussion we don't have time for.
Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story at caffeinatedthoughts.com, and we'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
And probably the blame. This is Shane Vanderhart.
And Brian Myers.
We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.
Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Crossroads Shooting Sports. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. Go to crossroadsshooting.com for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. That's crossroadsshooting.com.